I woke up this morning, I put this on and got ready for church. My wife asked, What are you doing? You're preaching today. I am. I'm in charge of the next 5 to 30 minutes. We'll see how this goes. But I wanted to make sure that, you know, we didn't mistake me for a preacher. I am, in fact, a football coach. That's what I do for a living. I'm not a preacher. But I am going to attempt to draw some parallels today between what I do for a living and what I do weekly and daily and throughout the year and what I've done and the Christian life. It's something I feel like is a real simple parallel. It's something I draw every week when I'm giving a pregame speech to the kids. It's very simple to just get up there and I can look into the Bible and I can find a story that, you know, maybe relates to what's going on that week, right? It could be David and Goliath. It could be the prodigal son. It could be any story. And I take some liberties and stretch it a little bit sometimes and make sure that we're ready to go. And so that's what we're going to try to do today. I like to kind of let you know what's happening ahead of time. I made the mistake. My first game, I'm in Sonora, Texas. I've just taken a new job. It's our first game. It's a home game. I am nervous. I am excited. I have got this speech ready to rock and roll, and we're going to get these kids out the door, and we're going to go kick some tail, right? And I get in there, and I get them all fired up, and I head out the door to the field. And I'm the only one who went out the door. They had their own traditions of what they did before they went out, before I got there, and I had no idea, and we ended up being late for kickoff. So from then on, I figured, you know what? We should probably let people know what's going on, do a better job of communication. Part of our communication within our staff, we like to say, kiss it. Okay, you've heard this before. Keep it simple. Keep it super simple. Okay. We coach kids for a living. They're 14 to 18 years old. They don't play football for a living. All right. They go to school. Some of them have jobs. They're distracted by everything else in this world. And somehow in 3 days practice, we try to get them ready to play in a game. And so my coaching staff, who is awesome, they're intelligent, they're very smart, they come up with new ideas all the time, and I go, that's great, but you're going to need to kiss that, right? We're going to have to keep that simple. We're going to have to break that down a little bit and make it a little bit more simple, a little bit more palatable, a little bit more easy to understand and then to be able to execute going forward. Not all of our kids are super, super smart. I do have a couple. I'm not making fun of my kids, right? I got a couple. They're football players. Which, you know, that's probably going to conjure up certain images in your head of football players. I will brag, I had the valedictorian and salutatorian on my team. My son here, Ryder, raise your hand, Ryder. Ryder was a valedictorian. And he gave a great speech Friday night, and he'll be going on to UT, and we wish him luck with that. But they're not all valedictorians, right? And so we keep it simple. And so part of it is communication, and how do we get them to do what we want them to do each Friday night or during the week or at school, okay? We kiss it. Y'all remember the telephone game or the Ask the Secret? Everybody sits in a circle, right? You probably did this in elementary school, maybe church camp. Maybe you've done it in a leadership retreat somewhere. Everybody gets in a circle. You give a phrase or a word, depending on how advanced your group is, and it comes all the way around the other end, okay? So I remember, Jesus loves you. Pass it on. Okay, and it goes around the circle, and little Timmy stands up at the end. Timmy, what's the message? Jesus lost his shoes. Okay, gets lost in translation sometimes, so sometimes we have to keep things simple. So I apologize if I'm too simple this morning, but that's where I'm going. That's my world that I live in. So, if you'll indulge me, I'm going to talk about how we call plays, and it's really, I'm not giving you a football lesson, it's really just a communication lesson, okay? The West Coast offenses, I know I'm not the only one with gray hair, so you would probably remember Joe Montana, some of the great teams back in the day in the West Coast offense. Here's an example of one of their play calls. Scatter to west, right, tight, F left, 372, Y stick, Z spot. That's all one play, and that's a coach telling the quarterback, who then has to repeat that twice with all the crowd cheering and they're exhausted from the game and all that has to get executed. But I would imagine, you know, the pass it on game, if I tried to do something like that with my high school group, there's no telling what we'd be running at. We'd all be doing something different. Our plays are super simple. I'm going to bring these boards up here. Some people saw me walking in with these today and they're like, what is happening here? What is going on? I got a couple of chuckles and like, is this... These are boards? these your play call boards? That's exactly what it is. If you watch college football, you see a lot of these. And you'll see this stuff. And it's super simple. So whereas scatter to west, right, tight, F left, 372, Y stick, Z spot may work for professional football players, I just say ace, blast. That's it. That is the honest truth. That is one of our most popular plays. That's it. That's all. All 11 guys know what to do. Now, when we communicate with these boards, and you'll see if you watch football on a Saturday afternoon, they're holding up these signs, and maybe there's a picture of the other coach. Maybe it's a big smiling baby, right? Maybe it's a couple of puppies. It doesn't make any sense. It makes sense to them. Their team knows what's going on. And just like this probably doesn't make any sense to you, right? Except for a couple of my ex-players and a coach in the audience, right? But this makes sense to our kids. Now, we move these around, all right? So we communicate this. So this, it may matter whether I'm holding the sign like this or like this, or maybe it's in the air, or maybe we've switched which one's in front, or maybe it matters which coach is holding it, or if his hat's on forward or backwards, or if it's a white hat or a blue hat. There's a lot of different ways. The kids understand that. We have taught them how to communicate, and we've taught them where to look to get the information. In between plays, they turn and they look to the sideline. They look to us for guidance. They have that right there. Here we go. Here's our first parallel. Where do we look? Right? As Christians, where do we look? Where do we go to? Where do we go to? Where do we get the information on how to live life? Right? We go to the Bible. Okay? That's got all the information in it that we need. All right? Let's look at 2 Timothy 3 and 16. 2 Timothy 3 and 16. I don't have any of this going on. Again, I'm a football coach, not a... but I got my boards here, so I hope that entertains you a little bit. All right. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. All of it is good. All of these plays are good. Okay? They all work sometimes, but they have different functions, right? Like the color pink. That might be a play. I need a long play. I need a touchdown, right? I need a really long pass. Or maybe it's short yardage, and I'm gonna call jacket or hornet. This is actually a hornet. It's a green hornet. Okay? And so there's different stories in the Bible that relate to what you need. It's not all the same thing over and over again. Okay? How do you navigate that? Somebody, you know, you maybe equate the Bible to your playbook. It's big. It's got a lot of words, not a lot of pictures, right? You know, how do I learn all that? Maybe I'm new at this, or maybe I'm really struggling. I don't know where to go. All right? I know you guys have heard of the internet, right? Which may be the devil itself, but then there is some good in the internet, right? Again, in my house, pre-internet days, I love talking to kids about pre-internet days because it blows their mind, right? What? You did what? Yeah, so we had a set of encyclopedias at our house, like many of you do, right? Right? And, you know, in 1986, when I'm in sixth grade and I'm writing a report on something, I better be writing on something that happened before 1970, right? Because that's when those books were printed, and that's the end of the information. All right? And so they were only good to that point, right? The Bible is a very, very, very special playbook. It is a book that, although written nearly 2,000 years ago, some parts older than that, it still retains the information that you need today. It is God-breathed. How can any words that have been written down that long ago still have the ability to inspire and push you in the right direction? All right, so when we're calling plays, sometimes a kid maybe misses the play, right? Maybe he's tired. Maybe he got hit hard on the play before. Maybe he ran far out of bounds. Maybe he's just not very smart, right? We got all types. We love them all, don't we? We love them all. What do you do if you're out there and you don't get the play? We teach them. This is actually part of practice. You turn and ask, right? We don't want to run the next play without knowing what, in fact, that play is, right? So if you miss something, if you need information and you didn't get it in the traditional way, or maybe you didn't understand what the board said, or maybe we think the other coaching staff knows what our boards are saying, and so I do hand signals too, right? I teach them actually a lot of real sign language so that I can talk to them that way if I'm in a hurry. But if you miss it, you ask, okay? If you miss it, you ask. Sometimes you don't pay attention, or maybe sometimes you just were a little bit confused and you needed some help, and so you have to lean on someone else that is on your same team to get that information. Here we go, another parallel. What do you do when you need help? Right here. We have to lean on our brothers around us. What if we got a kid that doesn't come to practice too much? Right? What if he's not getting it because he doesn't come to practice enough? We reach out to those kids. We reach out and we try to get them back to practice. This is practice, right? Amen. Do not get it confused that you're not at the game right now. This is practice. The game is what happens outside of this building, okay? You are here to be encouraged. You are here to learn what's going on. You are here to learn what you should be doing next. This is not the game, okay? You're living the game outside of these walls, okay? So keep that in mind. And so if someone needs encouragement, that's our job. Okay? Sometimes we get kids that are new to the team. Maybe they're new to town, right? Maybe they decided to come out a little bit late. We have to teach them all this stuff, right? Sometimes we get people that are new to our team, right? We got to bring them in. We have to spend time outside of practice with them to get them caught up, okay? Maybe they've never played before. Maybe they have no idea what the rules are to this game, right? We have a lot of different situations that we deal with as a Christian family and as a teammate, all right? Let's go to 1 Peter 3 and 15. Now, he is, in the text previous to this, he's talking about people that are basically questioning your faith, right? If you're struggling a little bit, people are questioning what's going on. And he wants you to be prepared. So, 15, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. Always being prepared to make a defense. Okay? You need to have that as Christians. That's something, you know, maybe we don't think about very much. Like, what happens if somebody comes up and asks you, why are you so happy all the time? Why do you go to church on Sunday? Okay? What is it that you really believe in? You got to have a little something ready to go, right? You got to have that your favorite Bible verse, or maybe a story that you really enjoyed from the Bible, or maybe it's just a personal experience, right? I'm saved, hallelujah, right? I'm a terrible human being at times, but God still loves me, and He forgives me of my sins, and I'm trying, and I'm doing my best, and that's the most beautiful thing about this, right? You've got something that you can share with other people. You need to be prepared with that. And I think this is really big. The last three words there. Yet, do it with gentleness and respect. That sounds like 2022, doesn't it? Gentleness and respect, if we don't agree with each other, yeah, that's how we do it. Not really. That's not what's happening. That's not what's happening politically. That's not what's happening in the world. That's not what we're told. We're told if you don't agree with each other, say it louder, right? Say it louder, butt heads, right? Say it louder. Gentleness and respect. So how do we as Christians treat those that maybe don't agree with us or don't understand what we're doing or see things different than us? Maybe they believe something else. They don't understand that hope that is in you. I know there's a situation in Uvalde that this last week, guarantee every one of you has had a conversation with somebody about that this last week, probably every day. I've had two or three conversations every day about that situation since it has happened. Absolute tragedy. But I can also guarantee you that you probably didn't agree with the other person on what the fix is. That's what everybody wants to talk about, is the fix. How do we fix this? How do we make this not happen? And not everybody's going to agree on that. How do you address that? How do you handle those conversations with gentleness and respect? Now, I can tell you, when I'm coaching kids, and this is something I teach my coaches, and I would love to give credit to whoever taught me this. It was a long time ago when I first started, and you've probably heard this one too, the old dirt sandwich. Everybody heard of the dirt sandwich? Okay, it's got three ingredients. It's two pieces of bread with some dirt in the middle. Okay, the bread is the good stuff. The dirt is what they really need to hear. Okay, and so if I got little Johnny out there playing football and he is not being very successful, now you'll see some coaches, Johnny comes off and he just yells and screams at him right now, let's go, you're not doing this right. And they start announcing all of the mistakes that the kid is making. That is not how my coaching staff coaches. Very often. We don't yell. We do yell. It's mostly for encouragement, or sometimes it may be an effort issue. But if there is any sort of teaching that needs to happen, we love the old dirt sandwich method. Okay? Little Johnny, man, I see you're dressed right today. That's really good. Man, your feet are moving, right? You are hustling out there. That is awesome. Hey, what I need you to do is block that guy. Okay? If you could take all this energy that's going on and maybe get in front of that guy, yeah, just slow him down a little bit, okay? All right, that's ingredient number two. And then, I believe in you. You can do it, right? And you send him on his way, and he feels good about it. But he listened to you because you said something nice to him first, right? And then he heard what he really needed to do, and then he got encouraged on the way out. Now, you guys are not coaching football for a living, but you do deal with adults, and you deal with other people that you run into every day. How do we translate that idea into an adult conversation with somebody that maybe we don't agree with? If it's a non-Christian or they're struggling or we don't agree with them, I think, and this is me, right? This is my opinion. I think you validate their feelings, right? You don't have to agree with them. I'm not saying you agree with them. So you validate their feelings. I can see where you would feel that way. Okay, well, your experiences must have been really, you've been really brave to go through that. That must have been rough for you, right? You open yourself up to their ideas and you soften their heart with that first blow, right? The first opportunity you have in that interaction needs to be soft. It has to open their heart up, right? And you let them share. People love to talk, okay? Especially about themselves. Right, you know this about people, and so you let them talk, let them tell their story. Right, that's the first piece of bread, and then you give them whatever information, whatever advice that you have for them. Maybe it's a Bible verse. Maybe it's we need to pray together. Maybe I need to see you on Sunday morning at church, or maybe we need to get involved in something else. And whatever that information that your experience says that they need, you give them that information, and then you offer to be there for them through this tough time, whatever it is. Right, let's keep talking. If you adamantly do not agree with someone on something, you're not going to solve it in a 5-minute conversation. Hey, let's pick this up again. Let's go have coffee. Let's talk about it. Right? Let's keep this thing going. Right? And so let's keep it going. Let me be available to you. Right? That's that last piece of bread there. Let me be available to you on your way out. And so let's finish this. Let's continue to work on whatever it is that we're not agreeing on, or whatever it is that I feel like you need to hear, okay? We have to be able to communicate with people. We as a church, we're in the people business, right? That is what we're here for, okay? So we want to try to show them a great example of that hope that is in you, and then show them love with gentleness and respect. The other part, talk about huddles, right? So we have the whole team, and then we have huddles. So on any given Friday night, we have everybody is not on the field at the same time. There's only 11 out there at a time. And so there may be an offensive huddle. There may be a kickoff team. There may be a kick return, punt team, defense, extra point. There's about 10 or 11 different huddles, okay, that go out there, and their job is to do the function of the team, right? They all have a role on the team. And maybe someone's not an offensive starter, right? But they're on that kickoff team, and they're going to go down there, and they make a tackle. They're contributing to the team. They're a part of that huddle, that unit, right? And it becomes successful, and they get some encouragement from being a part of that. And that is our opportunity to have teams within the team. Does everybody know where I'm going with this? We've got care groups, right? This is the team. Your care groups are your huddles. They have different functions. They have different goals. They're different groups of people. They're in different locations around town, right? They all have their own function and purpose, and that is your opportunity to plug in and be a part of something where you can make a difference and people can help make a difference with you. In Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 through 12, it says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. We need huddles, okay? We need people around us that help encourage us. doing it on your own. That's the human side of us. As soon as an issue comes up, we want to fix it ourselves, right? It's the first thing. I'm going to draw on my own understanding. That is the human nature. I'm going to draw on my understanding and not God's, when we really should be going to the playbook, right? We need to be going to the playbook. We need to be going to our teammates. We need to stretch ourselves a little bit there, okay? A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. I did an example for our FCA group one year. You know those brown paper towels in the bathroom that are like recycled, very cheap paper? I took this piece of paper and I rolled it up and made like maybe 1 inch wide. And I had the biggest, strongest kid that was there. And we talked about this verse and we talked about doing things together. And I gave him this piece of paper and I said, see if you can pull it apart. Snaps it. Easy. Okay. So I give him two. I roll up two, fold them out there. I give it to him. He's got two. Strains a little bit. Boom. Pops it. Easy money. It's paper towels, people, right? Nothing to it. I take three of them, fold them up just the same as the others, but then I braid them. I braided those three paper towels together. Paper towels, recycled, brown paper towels, 230-pound defensive lineman who lifts weights a lot. Break it. He could not. He could not. He pulled and he strained and he pulled and he strained, and three paper towels held up when they were working together, right? And so that's us. You don't have to be the strongest. You don't have to feel like, I'm the best Christian in the world. I need to go out and tell everybody everything. Do it with your group. Lean on other people. Don't be afraid to be a part of something that helps make you better, okay? I'm on my last page here, so. Just keeping everybody in the loop, right? Communicate, we've got to communicate. I want to talk about Jesus as a teammate. This is a fun one for me to talk about the kids. Like, what? It's a great question, right? And I don't think there is a right answer. What position would Jesus play if he played football? I don't know. But I think he'd help you win. He's got to be like the best player ever. But I feel like somehow he would do it without ever getting any of the attention. Like, would he play in the offensive line and just make really good blocks so that we get some first downs? You know, would he be the quarterback so that he always gets the right guy the ball, right? I don't know. You know, would he play defense and make a lot of turnovers? I don't know what he would do, but I know he'd be great at it. And I know that everyone around him would love being on his team because he would be selfless. Let's look at Philippians 2, chapter 2, verses 3 and 7. This to me is Jesus as a teammate. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Maybe Jesus is a water boy. Maybe he's a certain. Maybe he puts a little something special in that Gatorade that helps you win. I don't know. But I think he would be the best teammate ever. And I think that's something that we always try to, you know, and we'll never get there, but we try to parallel Jesus' life in our own. We want to be as much like him as possible. And if you want to be as much like Jesus as possible, you have to not worry about you so much, right? You have to put others before you. And this is a super easy translation parallel for me with football and talking about teammates. Stop worrying about you. Okay, I say this at the end of or the pregame and all the time to my kids. We either all win or we all don't, right? I don't like to say the word lose, so we either win or we don't, right? We either all win or we all don't. And so we have to do this thing together. It takes all of us. One person cannot win or lose the game. It does not ride solely on one person's shoulders. Get involved and be a part of this community. One of the best examples I've ever seen, if you guys actually watch football and you watch the state championships for the last 8 or 10 years or so, all of the high school state championships in Texas have been played at one location, most commonly Cowboy Stadium, Jerry's World, right? If you've been in there, it is the absolute best place in the world to watch a football game. All the seats are awesome. They're all padded. And there's a giant TV that you end up watching that instead of the game sometimes because it's the players are bigger. And for people like me with bad eyesight, Two seasons ago, in 2020, in the 2A state championship game, Shiner is playing post. Shiner has a set of cousins that are just phenomenal athletes. Okay, Doug Brooks is already committed to the University of Houston as a junior, and he is playing defensive tackle. He's a running back, and he's playing defensive tackle. They're about the 20-yard line. Post has the ball. Doug Brooks breaks through the line, hits the quarterback. The ball pops up in the air. Doug Brooks grabs the ball out of the air, and he's running to the end zone for a defensive score. Now, these games are also televised. This is like the biggest stage you could possibly have as a high school football player. This is the most attention that you would ever get. Okay? Doug Brooks has the ball, and scoring an offensive touchdown is huge. It's common, right? A little more common, and it gets celebrated, and that's a big deal in a state championship game. Scoring a defensive touchdown is a rarity, and people lose their mind when that happens. That is like the ultimate, right, to score on defense. He has the ball. He has nothing between him and the end zone. Nothing. He is going to score a touchdown in a state championship game on defense. And he is running, and he looks to see if anybody's chasing him. And he looks, and he sees his buddy Max, another defensive lineman. And he hands the ball to Max. And Max gets to score that touchdown in the state championship game. That's a Jesus move right there. That is real. That really happened. And I get emotional thinking about it right now. He has a chance for one of the most glorious moments in his football career, and he gives it to somebody else. That's something to emulate right there. And the last thing, what if God was in the huddle with us? What if God stuck to the KISS method of keeping things simple? You know, we had the Ten Commandments, you had the laws in the Old Testament, and in the New Testament, I think he kisses it for us. Matthew 22, 37 through 40. Jesus replied, people are questioning him, right? It's like, well, what's the greatest commandment, right? They're on him. What's the biggest deal? Break it down for us, right? They're kind of mocking him and giving him a little heckling, but Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So if God was in the huddle and God is calling plays, all right, God, it's this simple. Love me, love your neighbor. Okay? On my board in my office, it says, simple but not easy. Simple but not easy. There's a lot of things in life that are simple, but they're not easy to do. Right? That's what your team is for. That's what the guys around you are for. That's what these people that show up to practice on Sunday are for. Right? Those are the people in your huddle. Don't be afraid to lean on them. That's why they're here. We all have the same goal. Right? I think we get caught up being inside of ourselves too much, and we don't want to put it out there. Because maybe we see ourselves as just that weak piece of paper towel. But you can do great things when you're put together with others. So, if you're wanting to join our church team, or you're struggling with the playbook, or you would like the prayers of the church, or you have any concerns or any needs, this is the time, as together we stand and sing.